This meeting is now being recorded.
So we're back on the record. You understand from listening to the dial in that we are the sixth person on the line. I just again want to make sure concerning on the line and everybody is obviously welcome, but if there's any subcommittee members on the line right now that have not previously answered on roll. So I know the subcommittee members that were missing were Judge Good and Jeff Lewis. All right, Judge Good, are you on the line by any chance, or Jeff Lewis?
No.
Neither. Okay, so otherwise we've accounted for all the subcommittee members.
We've got you programmed.
We are now back on the record, and we're moving to item four for a discussion item only. So this is on the agenda as a discussion item, though obviously we're moving the discussion eventually towards action whenever that will occur. So just for a little bit of background before I turn it over to the folks that have put the most work into this, the specific task that falls to this subcommittee and will be therefore based on the information provided to us by the folks working on this, who I'll name in just a minute, is to determine whether civil assessments should be included in equivalent available WAFM funding by the court. And this is an issue that will take a substantial amount of work to wrap around and to decide how to proceed. And to start us off, I ask Judge Holland, Mike Roddy, and Hunter to look at it. As I turn it over to Mike, I want to acknowledge a couple things. I obviously came in well after the train left the station on WAFM. There are folks in the room that built the train. Mike's here, everybody, a lot of people, Sherry Carter, people that have a significant amount of history and knowledge of this, and that's what we're trying to take advantage of as we start down this track. So to do that, I ask Mike, again, to start off and give us some comments on how this issue evolved, and I'll turn it over to him for that.
What a task, because this is a really lengthy, complex issue. I'll try to distill it down to understandable components.
You're gonna dumb it down for us.
Yeah. If I had dumb it down for myself.
Yeah. We've had the civil assessment for dummies. That's what we're talking about.
I can't wait.
Essentially, this issue starts in about 1994, which was when the courts were first authorized to begin using civil assessments in lieu of a bench warrant. And so some of the earliest programs dated to that point. As we get to state funding in 1997, in September of 97, it was amongst a group of fees that were quote-unquote undesignated. Spoken for when fees and revenues were allocated between courts and counties, and it was unspoken for. As such, it was really in this no man's land throughout the early period of state court funding until 2005, and was subject to a lot of local variation, to say the least. It's also, I think, fair to characterize this revenue as not integral to court operations. Most of the courts were able to use that to establish fund balances, to establish local agreements for everything from buildings to services and other expenses, and it was essentially money that was argued with back and forth over who got what. And again, I'm simplifying a lot of history here, but it comes to a head in 2005 with AB 139, which was the attempt to finally determine the designation of fees, and this was one of them. And what essentially, very simplistically, was put into place was the agreements and arrangements that were in place when AB 139 was established became an adjustment to county maintenance of effort payments. There's been this belief that we continue to collect civil assessments and it's somehow routed back to the counties. It's not. We took what issue between the courts and the counties, i.e., civil assessment revenue, and we really turned it into a branch issue. The counties have been excluded now from the conversation because their MOEs were adjusted. adjusted to the tune of $48 million, which represented what was in place in 2005. Did I say three? I meant five.
It's from the snapshot of
03-04.
It's from the snapshot of 03-04.
But it was locked into place in 05. And the county MOEs were reduced proportionally. So, in other words, if you had a $5 million in civil assessment was going to the county, the county's MOE was reduced by $5 million. And so now what we have is essentially $48 million that we are paying back to the trust fund by taking money off the top of civil assessment before it's distributed back to the courts. So we have information that shows us what that MOE adjustment was attributable on a county-by-county basis. I think 38 counties have some level of MOE adjustment, and the remaining 20 counties have nothing. And, again, we could get into all the sorted history, but civil assessment programs started at different times, had different rates, and then some were charging $100, some were charging $200, you know, some were imposing the maximum mandatory fee in all cases, and I think this is still the case. Some have, judicial officers have discretion to modify those, and so at the end of the day, there's very little consistency from county to county in how the fees are applied, managed, and collected. Also, you have coming into the picture in 05, the enhanced collections program. And the idea there was to, you know, begin trying to find ways to increase additional, revenue with that through court-ordered debt. And so you started to also see courts ramping up their collections programs to try and raise not only more civil assessment, but also, I think, primarily to get court judgments, you know, to enforced. In a lot of, that's where you start getting the infamous $10 billion in court-ordered debt. We started actually capturing information and having courts and counties report on the amount of uncollected debt. So what we have today is a system where all of the civil assessment revenue stays internal to the branch. Remember, the county MOEs got adjusted. $48 million of civil assessment off the top is related to those adjustments. And so a court will collect, and let's just say, I'll just throw some made-up numbers out there. A court reports collections less expenses, because you can take your collection expenses of, say, $20 million. And if you haven't had an MOE adjustment, your county got five, you're essentially giving back $15 million. That's your net. And at this point, it is not part of WAFM. It's not included. It's essentially money that many courts have used, I think, in the recession. From the recession forward, it went from being an undesignated pot of money that could be used for any number of purposes to integral to operations. It became a way to address the reductions. And so the extent to which a court had a pre-existing MOE adjustment, the extent to which they're successful in collections, and the extent to which they ultimately net out some amount of money can have wide variations from county to county. This now becomes an issue, I think, and raises its head with respect to amnesty, because everyone appears to be seeing a hit in amnesty, and there are concerns in general about not being able for some counties to make those MOE payments or that amount of money. So how do we make up the difference? What we see in the research before this year is at least two counties, I think it was, right, Colin, who didn't even make their MOE commitments in 1450. Now, they're small counties and they're small amounts, and theoretically the way it now works is we probably all made up some level of that shortfall, because this is a shortfall in the trial court trust fund. The $48 million, if it's not replaced, becomes a $48 million reduction in the trust fund that's available for distribution to all.
Okay.
Maybe stop there.
Yeah,
throw a lot of information out, but
that's good.
I don't know how we start the conversation.
Two questions. So those two courts that were short, wasn't it, because right now aren't we taking it off the top of the distribution for the trial court trust fund? So didn't they essentially have to absorb that or not?
It comes out of the trust fund, and the trust fund, you know, turns into WAFM allocations. To my knowledge, hasn't been a specific dollar for dollar reduction in those two counties to make up for the difference.
Okay. Can you confirm that?
That's right. So the way it works is that the court doesn't receive any funding if it doesn't meet if it doesn't meet that MOE buyout amount, but it's also not allocated a negative amount if it's below.
Okay. So effectively not a MOE.
Right.
But that's because we've had a fund out. And when we get to a point where the negative number is bigger than the fund balance, we have an issue.
Well, I'm not sure it's that straightforward because the $48 million, if we had zero civil assessment, we'd have to allocate a $48 million cut.
Right.
And I suspect that it would be allocated proportionally through WAFM.
Right.
And so that becomes the danger.
Oh, I wouldn't say proportionately under the WAFM formula. I would think reductions of traditionally, even under WAFM, would be done by historical share.
However
we do it.
Right, but there's no connection between that $48 million and WAFM per se.
I agree.
And also, it hasn't been an issue because we still are netting out about $110+ million in remittances back to the local court, so there's been more than enough there to make up for that $48 million.
Okay, so because I wasn't in California when this happened, I think I've been saying this wrong all along. I think you just taught me. I want to make sure I understand this. So when I say we owe the county $4.2 million, that is inaccurate.
And I think that's a common misperception.
Yeah.
And I share it for many months.
Right.
We bought that. We essentially
bought it out.
I mean, the county's got – it's become an – it's now an internal branch issue.
Right.
Not a court county issue.
It's like flooring a loan. The loan's been so long.
Yeah.
They don't have it anymore.
They've been made whole.
Right.
They've been made. The counties were adjusted based on whatever that amount was in place in 05.
Well, this is a trust fund problem.
And so this is now a trust fund problem, which is why.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and as I understand it, just for the simpleton, so I'm the picture on the front of the book that says WAFM for Dummies, or that says for Dummies. If we deal with 58 counties, 20 of these counties don't worry about. They get everything in, and they don't have to worry about making any of the timing. But they don't have any concern about any obligation to the $48 million.
They get dollar for dollar what they collect.
Yeah. Right. Let's say they don't start with a whole.
Okay, so the 38 counties of the 58, 38 of these counties are the ones that are impacted. If in fact the $48 million cannot be accounted.
It's accurate to say that within those 38 counties, you have tremendous variation of you know, whether they get some, all, or most of their money based on what was in place in 05. So, yes.
From a snapshot of 03.
But let's be honest and fair. It was based on a lot of local arrangements and agreements that were crafted from 94 to 04.
Probably,
definitely, because I did a couple of those.
Yeah.
And the statute said every one of them had to be approved.
I mean, in some county, they may have gotten a facility issue.
Yeah.
Another county, they may have gotten something relative to payroll and benefits. In something, you know, other types of benefits. I mean, it was the Wild West. It was really unmetered, uncontrolled, unreported. I mean, all the money was local, state, local. And until 05, we were essentially giving the county a check for their share of the agreement.
We really need to change how we describe this because I've been saying it wrong for
aren't there also counties that were kind of new to the civil assessment?
That was not tied
to the MOE?
Yeah. The revenue sharing piece came in because it had the way it was applied was different if you were collecting civil assessment prior to this change or if you weren't at the time.
And the other problem that was happening in these intervening years, and I'm oversimplifying, is you had some counties who believed and fought for and frankly would hold up local agreements because in their views it was the civil assessment was their money. And for some of us in other counties, the county would say, you know, we really don't have an interest in that. You know, let's cut, we'll cut a deal that benefits both sides, and you can keep all the future growth. You had some programs that were, you know, San Diego started civil assessment in 1994. It had a program from day, essentially almost day one.
You are mature.
In a very aggressive way. But the deal that we ended up cutting at the end of the day was very favorable to the court because the county came and said, you know, well, this is what we're interested in and you guys can have the rest. So depending on the state of your local relations and what you were kind of negotiating with your county at the local level could impact greatly what that MOE adjustment turned out to be in 05.
Isn't that really a $100-some million problem, though? Didn't you say the whole collections is $100-some million?
Well, what the courts get back after the adjustment is about $110 million, right, Colin? And I'm talking only about 14-15.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, the $48 million is static; it doesn't move. But from year to year, we see collections, and right now it's about $110 million. So, if you were to end civil assessment.
That's $150-60 million.
$160 million problem.
Right. And that's important to understand, especially, and part of the thing we have to keep in mind here is whatever action we take, we're going to have to explain as we go up the line. So the working group to the subcommittee to truck or budget advisory to the judicial council and then out from the branch.
So maybe to finish off where the subcommittee ended up so we can decide what to do from there. So when we talk about if the legislature were to end civil assessment, the branch would have a $160 million problem on its hands. And I would say, you know, $110 million of that is probably integral to operations because courts have really, that money's become part of daily need. And so that's one side of it. The other side of it, and Colin intimated a bit earlier as we were talking about some of the other revenues, we now report this because it is, of course, reported to Department of Finance. Everybody knows it's out there. I think that they probably would say that it's part of the trust fund and, you know, what you guys, how you account for it, your problem, but they're looking at that $160 million as part of, you know, state revenue. One of the ideas that the committee had talked about, and we did not come to a recommendation, so that's kind of why we're updating everybody, is it would be appropriate, at least, we think, to include the WAFA monies received back at the local level at the end of your allocation formula so that when we start looking at levels of underfunding, you know, right now, based on WAFM, you might be only getting 70% of your need. If you were to throw in the WAFM money, you might be at 74% of your need, or it would adjust that year. So we would then have an impact on
the civil assessment money, you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the optics of it otherwise, I think, become very troublesome.
How do we put it into the allocation formula?
Yeah, the funding health changes. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And we thought at least that way we're transparent that the money is being included, acknowledged in court allocations.
Is that second to last column then? That's
yeah.
What we're
yeah.
Page
right.
36.
Right?
Right. So let's all make sure on page 36. Okay.
The L, column L, I think is what you talked about. I think.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the delta right. Between L
and L. And that was one cut that we took in how that might be portrayed. And that's where we ended at this point and thought it might be helpful to bring back at least our collective knowledge about what we've learned along the way. And again, there are council reports that date back to 05 when this issue was considered by the council. I think there were discussions, or I mean, I can even get into greater detail about internal branch communications about what we were talking about doing when we went from 250 to 300. And there's potential connections to what was then an effort to try to fund CCMS, all kinds of crazy things. Not material.
Wild West.
The problem is it really was. It was, quote unquote, local revenue. And it was not accounted for. It was not reported. And courts did lots of different things. And the state of your relationship with the county had a big role at the end of the day. And I know some counties that were being held hostage. The county was keeping it all. And remember, a lot of the counties at that point were doing collections. So they had the money.
Yeah.
And so all that got unraveled essentially when AB 139 was passed in 05, which finally put to rest all of these conflicts, tried to put to rest all of these conflicts. And I think my analysis is it made it really a branch problem henceforward. And then trying to unravel all these agreements, we never got to it. So everything was kind of stayed in place since then because I think it was in the too hard pile.
Well, Mike, out of the $160 million, are there some of those other agreements, whatever you guys were talking about, that we still need to meet? I mean, are there still agreements maybe about facility payments that we need to?
My perception is a lot of that's receded into the background, and I don't know, Colin.
A lot of it wasn't formally disclosed.
A lot of what?
There were agreements out there.
They weren't disclosed.
A lot of them weren't disclosed.
Well, how are they paying them right now, do you think? Out of this money?
I would think so.
So that's another issue.
Because that's the issue that Mike was talking about. You get this money back in, and it's a non-designated issue. So what has happened is we've institutionalized it basically to our base in order to operate. But, you know, at each court, it's a different issue depending on the outstanding obligations that they may have incurred because of it.
Judge, I don't mean to take over the chairship, but...
No, you're not taking over the chairship, you're judge.
I was trying to understand how you get to 160 because the amount that goes to the trial court trust fund is about 48. And then I'm looking at, on page 36, your column G, which is the civil assessments that are collected and kept locally, and that's 106. And so...
106 and 48 is 154. I mean,
those are the two pieces.
Yeah, I'm just trying to indicate that if civil assessment went away, it's going to be the total, the combination of both numbers, because then we're going to have a $48 million reduction to allocate, and the courts wouldn't get, in this case, the $107 million.
I'm just trying to understand if those are the two components.
Talked about the WAFM revenue, but was, and again, expressing my ignorance, how did the civil assessments account for in workload through WAFM?
They're part of the RAS measurement. So, court,
so the works are accounted for in WAFM?
It was, because it's part of the civil assessment work required under statute is included under RAS, which then folds up into WAFM. Interesting. I mean, I love to hear the history. I mean, it's really interesting for the people who...
Yeah, I don't want to, anybody want to get too much into the history. Just try to frame some of the dates.
In Riverside, this is where I kind of dug into it mostly because I was part of the Inland Empire, and the situations for Riverside and San Bernardino are so different that I had promised San Bernardino I would be the faith child of making it more equitable. What I found in Riverside is that there wasn't this, as you described, kind of a trying to negotiate. There was an amount that they agreed they owed them in civil assessment, the amount of local fees that they were going to maintain, and then a sharing agreement, all in writing that was probably given to judicial counsel. And in L.A., based on everybody I've talked to that lived through the process, the MOE offset, the trial court trust fund MOE offset that L.A.'s been on the hook for was strictly the civil assessment that they lost that they agreed to. And there was nothing else there. So maybe some counties, I didn't hear about it from two.
No, and that's why I tried to indicate that in some measure, and I negotiated Sacramento's agreement in 94, 95 or something like that, and know full well San Diego's because I was tangentially involved in that.
Uh-huh.
Your court, local court-county relationships could have played a big role.
Yeah, right.
And some counties... You know, and I don't want to put San Joaquin on, but I just happen to know from my time at the council, the county was absolutely relentless and obstinate and unyielding in terms of even talking to the court about civil assessment. You also had...
Still are.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You had some courts that had no civil assessment program.
Right. No, I get it.
You had some courts who were aggressive in collections long before... collections existed, and you had others who now had the incentives under the enhanced collections program to kind of ramp up and come up to speed. And the real incentive, of course, was particularly on the CA side, if you were successful in bringing that money in, you kept it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in Mendocino, we had a The way I negotiated was an escalation clause, so the more that came in, the bigger the percentage that came over the court based on the success of the program. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't do civil assessment until it came
So that's why, I think that's, in my personal opinion, is why this went into the too hard pile, because trying to unravel all this, you know, and I remember historical discussions about trying to unravel some of these agreements. But you had all method and manner of local decision-making, local, you know, happening, for better or for worse. In some cases, it was agreed to. In some cases, it was imposed.
Or just, hey, this is how much we lost,
yeah,
and this is how much we expect. Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
And so, again, what we did in 05 is we made, as we fast forward, this is not a Cork County problem, it's a branch problem.
It is.
So is it too simplistic to say, again, getting back to the basic calculations, there's some counties that say we get to keep all of our civil assessment money. Those are the counties where there's no obligation within the $48 million.
No, a lot was, it was decided that as of the amount that was the snapshot in 0203, courts keep it all.
But some courts are obligated back towards the 40,
right.
38 of the 58 are obligated to keep that $48 million.
But it is
fine.
A court responsibility, and that's the part
right.
that really rubs me wrong. It was a branch responsibility that was kicked down the road that should have been addressed a long time ago.
Can I just point out also that I haven't had a lot to say because we clearly have a stake in it, but yeah, we might be able to keep 100% of it, but at the time we entered into these memoranda of understanding, we also gave up with things in exchange for that. So that's why it's so difficult to unravel,
right,
and almost impossible to unravel. If you're going to say, well, they'll keep it 100%, so we'll take away something here, and you got to get back over here. And it's,
there may be under the radar existing agreements today for a court that keeps 100% or the lion's share of their agreement to continue paying the county for certain things out of that money. We don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be something, though, that the branch should know? I mean, they were told in the minutes. I read every single possible document. They were told several times to bring those agreements forward so that there would be an accounting for them, and I think there was an unwillingness to unravel it.
I think we ought to remember we're in the business of herding cats. I don't defend it, Sherry.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Well, I guess then two things have come to play. We're herding cats, and that was then, this is now. So
we're still herding cats.
And most of us,
yeah,
weren't even around when our county
was
in old. Right. So the side deals that occurred, whether or not they should be used now is to somebody's detriment or benefit.
Right.
And they are where they are.
And so that's, I think, what led us to the current point of saying, you know, as depicted on page 36, to at least be more transparent in the way in which these funds are provided to the courts is to reflect what is actually remitted back and include that at the end of the chart and then use that to recalculate the relative degree of associated funding. And that's...
So are you suggesting that maybe we look at the column L to make an adjustment for the third and fourth quarter in the WAFM distribution?
That would, we weren't prepared to make that recommendation, but I think that's as far as we got in the
mm-hmm.
conversation.
Do you think we should get our fellow CEOs to disclose those agreements? Because it's only going to hurt them. But we need to honor those agreements. If they're in writing or something, whatever they are.
It kind of...
Depends
on when the agreements were made. And
it's pure conjecture on my part, Chris. And I'm only responding to what Judge Cope was saying. There were a lot of quid pro quo arrangements. I don't know whether they're still in effect.
Yeah,
all kinds of crazy things. Yeah.
I think where I'm hoping we go today is, and I'm trying to be procedurally appropriate, is a discussion item, it's not an action item. So as far as public comment goes, I think we have to keep it a discussion item, because if it was an action item, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think if it's an action item, there might be a different perspective of public comment. But one of the things that I'd like to accomplish today is, what do we need to move forward from this day to make this decision? What if, do we need to send out a survey to every county for the CEOs to say, if you've got it, tell us about it, because if you don't tell us about it, we can't help you.
We're not going to honor it.
Well, the other thing is at the risk of blowing this we do have a developing problem if more and more counties cannot meet those MOE obligations.
And if you start debiting from a court's allocation because of their civil assessment collection, then we're going to have a bigger problem, because why is a court going to expend their time and their money to collect civil assessments if it's benefiting other courts and not your own?
That would be my concern, that you run the risk of subsidizing the courts who are less effective at their collections.
Just a couple clarifications. So as to what Jim Compton was saying, as far as this is a discussion on what do we need to move to the next step, I think the step that we were given was to whether or not we believe that it should be discussed in relation to WAFM or not. I think that's the scope that this committee has as far as that discussion. Should we decide it is connected, whether it's an add-on or whether it's some kind of a, you know, methodology in itself, then I think some of these other questions come out, such as what about if there's a shortfall, and what about the trial court trust fund fees, and what about the agreements? But I think we're working towards the initial question as to whether or not we feel it falls into a connection with WAFM to start with, and what do we need in terms of additional information to make that decision to the bigger group of the trial court budget advisory committee. Either way, whatever our recommendation becomes, whether, yes, it's connected in some manner, we have to have, I think, a justification. And no, it's not. I think we have to have our reasons for that, too. And so I think that's what we're working towards, is whether or not we have a bigger task in front of us or it's not within our purview at all.
Did I tee that one up nicely or not?
Yeah.
That's where we got, and that's why we were back with this report. Sorry. And I'm speaking on behalf of the subcommittee, so other folks can chime in.
Well, I'm with Judge Conklin on the front of that book. But it seems to me that we're really talking about three categories of money that are pretty separate in terms of policy. And one is the $48 million, which Colin says is now being looked at in terms of if there's a shortfall to that point in the collections, that the court has not allocated that negative amount. And that seems right to me based on but that's one category.
And that's been a really, really like small number, so I think that would just kind of, but it becomes.
Well, it becomes important if civil assessments go away.
So in other words, yeah. Good, if you can't make, if you're one of the 38 counties that can't make your obligation, you're not responsible. It comes out of the branch. It doesn't come out of your budget.
So I have to say I am offended when we say your obligation.
I apologize.
I'm not to you. I this is really, since I've been in Riverside, this is a state responsibility. It was an MOE offset. The way it was allocated, I can't find in any of the minutes or discussions that it was ever discussed on whether or not. This, to me, is another snapshot debacle. Just like the trial court trust fund was a snapshot, just like the pendency council was a snapshot, AB 109 was a snapshot. So I'm just telling you how I feel, that it was never discussed on an equity basis. It was one of those snapshots.
So
I apologize.
You're right. We have to be careful how we describe it. But whether we describe it as an obligation or other, it exists.
It is. It's
there.
A branch responsibility.
Right. It's historical. We can't change it.
Right.
We've got to deal with it.
Well, the branch level is historical. How we allocate that MOE, state MOE offset, is wide open, I think, and was never debated, just like the other funding streams I mentioned.
So, Judge Cole, you were about to help me, too, because you were going to have three categories.
That's category number one.
The $48 million.
And, I mean, it sounds like, from Colin, that we, you know, somebody's already thought about this, and better for worse. So, but that's one category. The second category, to me, sounds like these agreements that nobody knows what they are and whether we're going to find out about them and deal with them. And then the third category is the local, I'm going to call it the local revenues. It's on page 36, it's
column G.
But I think the policy around those three could be very different.
Rebecca, did you want to comment on that?
Well, and I would actually offer up the school that perhaps number three has number two embedded in it, because those local agreements may, in fact,
be funded through the local revenue that's generated that is received back by the local court. So those two might be layered on top of each other. But in regards to those compartmentalizing approach, that was part of maybe an original approach. I don't think we actually got down that path very far, but one of the original discussions was perhaps we just deal with the funds that are being returned to the court currently and deal with the trust fund piece at the same time, because we knew this was such a huge so compartmentalizing it, however, if we're not necessarily out of the question, if we decide that's in our charge to do so. So.
And maybe I'm bringing you, maybe I'm jumping too far ahead, but also Mike discussed it was amnesty. And how does amnesty play into this? Because amnesty theoretically is going to impact our civil assessments.
I mean, that's just my look forward, that if the path continues, at some point the reallocation becomes notable. Right? I mean, right now, two small counties, a few hundred thousand dollars, it's allocating the WAFA money. If it's all of a sudden $10 million, that then becomes a noticed reduction in applications. Discuss whether it's done on a county-by-county basis or whether it's done up on a branch basis. Sherry's intimating a discussion that goes well beyond amnesty, which is the entire assessment.
So help me understand back to amnesty. That amnesty essentially is to address the money that has not been paid. It's the uncollected debt.
You can't take any civil assessment. The statute prohibits you from collecting civil assessment and allows a $150 administrative
fee. Right, understood. I'm sorry, okay. That's the way amnesty works. But, and again, I'm oversimplifying, but how were amnesty funds accounted for when they're funds that we haven't collected? In other words, if we weren't going to get that money anyways.
That's an assumption Mike Platt and I would disagree with. We would have gotten those.
Yeah,
okay, that has to do with your collection effort.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think essentially it means that column G is shrinking.
Column G is shrinking. Right. Yeah.
Shrinking.
Yes, and I shared that theory that you wouldn't collect it anyway, but the policy actually 4 months for amnesty. That 17 at Riverside, this year will probably be.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The $17 million under Riverside will probably be more like $11 or $12 million. It's a huge reduction. At least 30% is what we're estimating at this point.
Yeah, we're expecting not to hit $300,000, and we've been closer to $5 million.
Ventura, we're looking. We're on column G at 1.7. That's going to go down about 7.
We zero down. Our amnesty program is so widely successful, we zeroed it out.
We barely had a lot of applications. Only a handful of people are showing up to follow through on the process. So we're not sure.
Up until last month, our amnesty, our collections were significantly. And this month we saw the first decline. And so now it's a trend we're watching. But
so through December, just kind of put it out there, LA collected $3.2 million under amnesty. And the reason that $3.2 million is important is because 5% of those eligible for a reduction under amnesty, 5%. So the $3.2 million is at the 20% level. That's how many citations we've taken care of.
But those are just in the general fee categories that are going to affect all the agencies that rely on that money.
No, that's our civil assessments are gone on those cases.
But when you talk about the 80%, civil assessment is gone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we are bound. We won't make the trial court trust fund MOE offset for the year, I don't think. Colin and I might have a wager. I'm not sure. He won't shake
and, if that's the case, and if that's the case under the current procedure, all of us are going to suck up some of that difference.
That's right.
And again, it's not your obligation.
It's
your word.
Right?
It's the state obligation.
The percentage of LA County.
Yeah, this was just not ever thought through in terms of how it was going to be allocated, just like the others.
Well, just to add on, the civil assessment is only part of the casualty of the amnesty. Because the fees and fine revenue, a portion of which comes to the trust fund, is also going to drop. So we're going to have that pot, we're going to have that deficit.
So here's a suggestion. The sandwiches are here. It's almost noon, but I think we're making real good progress, and I don't want to interrupt our flow. So I propose we take about 10 or 15 minutes, grab our food, bring them back in. I want to, we're scheduled till 3 o'clock if we need to keep the discussion going. But Rebecca also, I think, has some real good organizational procedural suggestions of how to proceed. And we'll do, when we come back from grabbing our sandwiches, we'll go there. Any concerns about that? So we're going to go, if you're listening on the phone, thank you for letting us take a few minutes to get something to eat. But we'll be back in 15 minutes if you're looking for a clock, so you can get something to eat too. 15 minutes.
lost mic, but we're now unmuted, so thank you very much. Welcome back. We have, we're still continuing our discussion concerning item four, the discussion item of civil assessments at Waltham. We have had an opportunity to grab some food, and we're going to keep going today until we feel it's appropriate. It was 3 o'clock at the latest, whichever comes first. That being said, as we broke, I suggested that Rebecca at this point maybe summarize a few things that we appear to be working towards.
So much of the discussion keeps coming back to the fact that this, the civil assessments is connected to Waltham in as much as it affects the health of the court locally. And so, it, you know, unless I hear differently, it would appear that we wanted to continue at least our discussion in these meetings for the funding methodology subcommittee. Is that kind of what we're hearing? Not necessarily that it's part of the calculation, but it is connected in some regard.
So that's going to be not the focus, but at least the theme of the meetings as we progress.
Okay. So that being said, I've noted 3 things that keep coming up as far as potential additional information that we want to look at. Is one, the idea of some kind of a compartmentalization of civil assessments, and I think Judge Poole's breakdown was probably the closest we can get at this point is, you know, the $48 million in trial court trust fund, the local revenue, and then to the extent that they overlap, perhaps the local agreements. And so that may be information that we want to, you know, kind of put on a to-do list to come back and see what we can find in terms of the information on that.
Say that again, Rebecca, so I can write it so we all have the same.
So one compartmentalized piece is the $48 million that hits the trial court trust fund. Secondly, the local revenue that's returned to the court. And then third, which may be embedded in the local agreement, the local agreements, which may be embedded in the local revenue as an obligation of some sort. So, for instance, if you are paying for something locally, you may be paying with it, with that actual civil assessment coming back. So to the extent that those 3 areas are compartmentalized, there may be some follow-up on what are the local agreements or obligations. We may want to have Flacco and Colin do a presentation on the trial court trust fund piece and how it actually flows through the trial court trust fund and what the risks are associated with that as we discuss that piece. And then lastly, amnesty and projections on amnesty and what that may affect the civil assessment. And that's not necessarily the end of the list. Those are what I've captured so far. So if there's something else that has...
Spell check doesn't work on this board, by the way. So I don't spell anything. Sorry.
Well, and if there's anything else specifically that somebody brought up that I didn't catch, please jump in that we could follow up on. But those are things that it would seem to me we want to have additional information as we go forward.
Anything folks want to add or thoughts on that?
I think because it's hard to talk about issues of equality across courts and, you know, without having that this baseline information. So I think this is important information to have first to inform us about some of these other issues that side issues that have popped up in our discussion.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything missing from your standpoint, Mike?
What's the status of the Hirschberg bill?
Just been introduced.
Okay.
So tell us all when you say that, what you mean. So we have
SB 888.
Yeah, if it eliminates, and doesn't it also eliminate civil assessment?
No.
It's just the license.
Just the unpaid bail for trial.
Okay.
It's on the Joint Ledge Committee, TAC, PJ, and we discussed it last week, and it's... What they're trying to do is begin the fiscal analysis. And
okay.
So it's hadn't even been scheduled for committee hearing.
I just didn't know how quickly we'd need to operate here if it eliminated civil assessments for next fiscal year, for example. Okay.
So would we want Corey to also come to this group and talk to us about what he sees on the horizon?
I think that's a great idea.
You've got better writing than I do.
Oh, don't count on it. Don't ask me to write.
I'm
a doctor.
Yeah. And another...
I'm just going
to make it. Yeah. Impact of new legislation or something like that.
That's Flacco and Corey, right?
directly if that were to have any kind of a blip, whether it's as a result of amnesty or people not being able to make what they're being paid, what they're paying back right now, or if we were to make proposed changes. And then Corey, with any legislation or conversations out there about the future of civil assessment. So with that, we're going to continue with the discussion. I just wanted to make sure as we identify things to move forward with, we're capturing that.
All right. So we're making good progress. Where else? Any other? I mean, plenty of time. How else do we scope in this again?
Well,
go ahead, Mike.
I don't know if this is going beyond kind of the scope of this, and I don't mean to complicate it anymore, but. Just as there are unintended consequences of amnesty related to the civil assessment, it's the whole revenue picture that's going to be impacted by this. So then maybe we won't know that. So, but the first reports are coming. You're starting to get the first information column from the court, first reports on amnesty impacts, which is going to look at civil assessments and all the revenue.
Well, for the PCTF, there are two things that would be impacted. Civil assessments and there'd be the court operations assessment. But that it's all civil on the revenue side. And there's some kind of forfeiture stuff that's like a couple million.
Okay.
What about the court county splits on revenue?
Well, 50-50. So that's
50-50.
IMF. So, expanding beyond that, 50-50, but actually what's probably more important is how it relates to the court facilities funds. And how they're impacted because there's, I think it's a $35 to $25 penalty for each conviction, I believe, or maybe it's a violation. Either way. But those may be impacted as well by the amnesty program. And I haven't seen the data on their side on those. So, I have seen court operations. But corporations assessment has been declining for
years. We don't know cause and effect, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that one's kind of, we were already expecting it to decline, and it's kind of declining where we're expecting it to. But the civil assessment is definitely hit, and right now it's from what I'm seeing, and I'm hearing things that are different, but from what I'm seeing, it's about $25 million, $30 million hit. Civil assessment. Going to take this fiscal year. So that means going 160 to 130.
Boy, that just seems really low to me. But I guess.
Never
mind what I said, because I don't want to, you know, we don't know we have a problem yet until we know we have a problem. So.
So I'm going to throw this a couple of weeks worth of amnesty data. I have another month, but I just got, so I'm plugging that in.
Here's what I think. It may be able to say, so I don't know if you're experiencing this other phenomenon, but maybe next time the court executives get together, we can talk about it. But so we went, so the first month was the big number, right? And the subsequent months since then, we've gone to about half of what the first month, but it's been a steady half. Half hasn't dropped down to as previous amnesties have, where they've gone from whatever to zero.
Yeah.
And we kind of go like this, and you know, so we haven't
tapered off yet.
Yeah, and I don't know when it's going to,
yes.
Or if it's going to.
Because it's 18 months, next fiscal year too, yeah.
And the ability to get your driver's license restored
is the new
variable that is really driving.
Right.
But your pool isn't going to expand over that time, so. Got to expect that at some point the activity is going to change. So, you know, regardless if it's 18 months, 24 months, or 10 months, that pool of people that potentially it doesn't change.
But then it depends on how aggressive your collections program is.
Right.
The
other thing that's interesting is they don't often include all of their citations at the same time on their application. Because they get their license pulled back, their license freed from their first application. So when you say you have a constant pool of people, but not necessarily citations, because in LA County they waived the 50 $50 for the 80%. So if you have 45 citations and you want your license back, you know.
Is that a local decision?
Yeah, it's the Board of Supervisors. Because they're the ones who own the collections at the time that this whole thing happened.
Yep, so you say you're writing off, essentially, are you writing off the cost of staff as well? Is it a, for amnesty? You've just written off.
Oh, no, the administrative fee. The $50 administrative fee, the Board of Supervisors waived if they were at the 80% level. So, and it, that, the $50 doesn't come back to the court because the county owns collections at the snapshot.
Right. So, can I ask a question on the agreement piece? I don't want to stop this conversation, but on the agreement piece, I know everybody hates surveys, but
I'm not sure you should put those in writing. I don't know. I'm looking at Mike. I wasn't here. I didn't see anything strange in Riverside. I didn't see anything strange in L.A., but from the way you described it.
And it's all
circumspect, maybe?
Who knows?
I mean, people may or may not have reduced those things. And, you know, some of it's maybe anecdotal. I have some personal knowledge about a couple of specific ones, but it's going back 20 years, I'm not even sure I can remember that, what happened. But when I say it was the Wild West, it really, really was because, again, it wasn't reported to anybody.
Could I suggest that rather than a written survey, that we talk about it at SEAC and indicate that if you don't come forward with the information, it may not be covered?
That may be, I guess so. A couple of things I want to be careful about. It's public perception.
Oh, sure.
And as well as I think we've all acknowledged, very few of us in this room were there when those agreements were made. So none of us are, I don't want to use the word responsible, but there's a lot, I think Chris Cope brought it up. There's a lot of things that went into play on a lot of these agreements that we'll never know about for very good reasons. Very good reasons as far as give and take. So the question then becomes, if we ask everybody those agreements are in effect, it's not from a perspective of critical, it's just from a perspective, we can't help you with them if we don't know about it.
Okay, I'm okay, because they're...
I don't know who in my county was still around.
I mean, that's another...
So the answer may be, there aren't any.
See, Mike brings up an interesting point. I mean, in our county, the only two people who are around for that are my finance officer and budget officer. And so even the county kept horrible records and cannot reconstruct their own files about how we got to where we are today.
Well, but do we care about agreements that aren't currently operative? I mean, are we talking about
some of the underlying MOE adjustments were based on agreements.
And I know that in at least two cases because those amounts just didn't come out of thin air. They were specifically agreed to.
But my understanding from the minutes, Mike, is that they were what was agreed to as the civil assessment the county lost. And that's all the minutes say? That's all the...
I know.
Okay, well, so what I'm saying is that if it's more than that, I mean, that's what I found true in Riverside and L.A., so what makes us think there's all this other stuff just because you lived through it? Oh, you're right. I didn't. You're right.
And I can only give you a half a dozen examples. But I guess beyond that, at the end of the day, what are we going to do about it? Rebecca?
Well, that's actually where I was going to go. Even if we know about these obligations from court to court, are we going to go into those courts and change them, do something with them? I mean, I can see a court coming forward and saying, I may have a significant problem where we would assist them, but if I say in Stanislaus, I have an agreement that it actually really works for me, but it's financially on paper, it may look bad to what we're judging it on. Are we going to go in and talk to those courts about it? I'm wondering how important is it that we know about the agreement for the discussion of identifying the funding help?
I mean, if they were in place before Vickery asked people to submit their agreement, I would think we honor them because they were in place before the Transfer Trust Fund Act. I don't know what they are.
So instead of how even we go more broad and instead of restricted to agreements, say to the counties, are there any other factors that need to be considered from your perspective as we work through this problem?
So let me put it another way.
I guess I go back to what, whose place is it to go in and determine whether they're rational, accepted, reasonable, appropriate, or not?
Or to be honored or not.
Sure as hell is an art group. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I almost think it is what it is. Shouldn't our focus be in moving forward how we address the problem, not trying to diagnose what the problem is? I mean, it exists.
Right.
Well, we have cancer, let's fix it. You know, that kind of situation.
Well, and if an identification of the civil assessments as part of our overall funding health affects me as a local court, isn't that up to me as a CEO with my PJ and my executive bench to go in and decide what our next step of action is going to be, including coming for help if I need it? I mean, I'm just wondering if we're reaching too far into the local court and their decision-making, even if it was a decision made 20 years ago.
Well, now that I think about it, if AB 139 made this a Trotport trust, and if the counties are out of it, why do the local agreements even matter?
Well, my position would be that they matter if you gave us, if you keep 100% of what you collect. I know it's not technically right, but if you get 100% of what you collect and the county gets none, what did you give up in order to have that?
Right, but that's a different issue than what those that had the agreements would they mean, because for lack of a better word, it's already built, it's already baked in.
And how do you redress that? I mean, how did you reestablish what you gave up?
I mean, short of it being a county service, I mean, nobody's restricted from pursuing.
Maybe one of the
you can reestablish it, but. I think a county like a court like Riverside is going to feel penalized if they're losing funding because they're keeping 100% of their civil assessments. And another court that's not keeping 100% is getting more money in order to make up for that. But Riverside may have given up something in exchange for keeping that 100%. I'm not saying you can readdress it, but you've got to factor it in.
So you'd want to know if there are situations like that. You're not saying Riverside, in fact, has that situation.
No, I think Riverside does have that. Riverside has a list of 30, 40 different funding categories where some of them go to the county, some of them go to the court, and some of them are shared. And that was all negotiated as part of the same MOU.
So would we want to know that just so we could add it back if the court wants to?
I'm not opposed to knowing that. We'll give you our agreement.
Is that why we started this?
But then that implies that we're going to do something with civil assessment. I'm not sure we're there yet. But that's really, I mean, to me, I always go back and remember what got us here. And the reason AB 139 came about the way it did is because the courts and the counties couldn't agree. There was extensive back and forth negotiations before 139 to try to resolve undesignated fees, that whole category of undesignated fees. And, you know, even in the background material, they document or detail some of the facts that the courts tried to work and the council tried to work and it couldn't come to an agreement. And basically they tried to go back to DOAF and DOAF said, you guys need to fix this up. And at the end of the day, probably a pounded compromise resulted in 139 the way that it did. And in the amounts that it did, is it germane to our conversation to fix the future problem to go back and try to unravel the past? I don't know. I mean, it is, we got here through a compromise, in a sense. I mean, that's what
compromise, that's what it was.
But it locked it into place, and that's what we're trying to figure out.
And I do think that what John outlined is a general question. I think it's fair to let courts identify if they have a particular factor that they want to take into account. At least then we can address it.
I like the word factors on that agreement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because that way it captures.
Well, and it's broader. It might not be just an agreement.
Right.
In other words, of the 58 courts, we know 20 of them, the MOEs are brought out. Right?
Yeah.
So they're out of the equation for these purposes.
Well,
and then there's another group within the remaining 38. There's some of us that have MOEs part of the 48 million, and then there are some courts that are not part of the 48 million. Right?
And I think what we're going to find is that it was based on the civil assessment loss because the law required the county and the court to agree. If they couldn't, there was an arbitration provision. That amount is the MOE offset because that's what the county lost. Now, other agreements on other local revenue shares and stuff is kind of related but kind of not. But this was, I think, you know, the primary is based on what the county said they lost in their civil assessment.
That's not entirely true, Sherry, because in San Diego, our civil assessment was way above $1.2 million in 2005. That's what the county agreed to.
Right, to keep, for them to keep.
So it wasn't necessarily the amount of civil assessment that was being collected at the time.
Oh, okay, it's the amount that they agreed to.
Right.
Having an offset.
And again, I go back to state of relationships, counties, you know.
Who owns the collections at the time?
The ferocity of the county in you know, standing by its position.
Sure.
You know, in some cases, the county walked away from civil assessment revenue and said, I mean, that's why this is so difficult to unravel, because
sure.
It really gets back to the state of the local relationship.
Well, I'd like to suggest, I'm just calling and sharing too, taking out the word agreement, inserting the word factor, and just saying to the counties, are there local factors that went into your original discussion that need to be considered here before we decide how this is going to impact.
Yeah. And, you know, I bet most of them are going to turn out to be old or non-existent at this
right.
point. But if we identify half a dozen that we do need to take into account, we ought to do that.
Right.
So I have a question, and maybe because of this conversation you just had here, but is there potentially a difference between the $48 million and the MOE split that I had? So, for instance, Santa Claus had... the first 600,000 went to the county, and then we got what was left, right? So the 600,000 that then now became an obligation, Sherry, obligation to the child court trust fund, adds up with everybody else's who's in that pot. Is there a difference potentially between $48 million and what that total was? Should we, you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So I guess what I'm saying, is there an additional dollar amount that somehow was added into to make $48 million based on loss for whatever the negotiations was that wasn't necessarily attributed to the collections individually? Because the reason I'm asking is it may be worth identifying what those court splits were at the time that are part of that and what the difference between that total and the 48 is, because
I have no idea. I
don't think it's 48.
Because I don't think this, I'm starting to wonder now if the courts that are in it, the 38 courts.
Total 48.
And if there's a difference, I think that makes a difference. I think you're talking about the revenue split at the end.
Yes. Right.
Remembering some of this, there was no rhyme or reason other than what the locals
had kind of settled on
mm-hmm. or arrived at. There was no percentages or, you know, in some cases it sounds like it was close to 100%. And in some cases, it was nothing.
Right.
Even as far back as 05. And that's why I say this whole thing was just wildly all over the place.
So is it as simple as just asking 38 counties to make sure that the sums that they agreed to equal $48 million?
I don't think so.
I don't think people are going to
remember. All 58, you'd need to know the revenue split, because that would then address Judge Culp's issue.
Right.
And that's what they've been doing since that time. And so I don't know that there are that many people here.
See, I'm in a situation where I can go back and directly connect all the dots. I don't know if everybody else is or not.
We've
kept meticulous records on that.
I'm wrong, but what really is the point of that, in that somebody made a compromise and it got embodied in law, and that was 10 years ago.
For better or for worse.
And I'm not sure, unless there's some ongoing agreement or factor, as we're calling it, where there's a continuing obligation, say, by the court to pay something or a continuing obligation.
So what if it's a local and ongoing factor? Because you're right, it has to be current.
I'm not seeing the point of really going back, understanding what each compromise was, because it was what it was, and I'm not viewing it, frankly, as being suspicious. It was embodied in law.
I agree with you, and I think what I am now starting to feel like I'm coming to is, I think something that really is important to us is the 48, because we need to get made whole, I think, on the 48.
Right.
Because that's where the impact is coming from. Because whatever our collections are,
whatever your efforts are after that,
it's yours. Right. So, in a very simplistic way, if there was a way to somehow make that particular thing whole without having an adverse impact to any court that's dealing with it, whether it is not making it or not trying to make it, and so we're having to cover it. I'm just thinking out loud at this point because I'm just that's just something to mind.
So maybe I'm parroting back what you said, but we sort of glossed over the how is that $48 million made whole? I mean, where does it come from? If the 48, if we go below the $48 million, we know LA County doesn't have it doesn't have their bank account.
That's
but
we all share.
Well, and what
do we all? I mean, I don't know that.
I think so, Colin. You're smiling.
And if so, how is that happening?
I don't like it when you're
lying. Let me pull Colin off the spot because I can't find any. I think it hasn't been an issue until recently, and it's been such a minimal amount that no it flew under the radar. So a few hundred thousand here and there in the grand scheme of the trust fund, we've all been making it up. There was, to my knowledge, no discussion that said we will not only will the MOEs be done on a county by county basis, but any failure to make that is going to come from a particular court budget. It's good.
And the trial court comes from the state at that point in time. So revenues were increasing.
The reserve.
All these things were
so hypothetically speaking, if we miss it by $20 million this year, how is that going to be made up? Do we know the answer to that question?
We don't.
Judicial counsel would have to be.
That's something Blanco would have to.
No, judicial counsel would have to go up with an option.
You'd have to say the trial court trust fund has insufficient.
We want that part of our.
How are we going to address it?
I need to know that answer.
So there's two. We need to know the answer, or do we need to be able to make a recommendation to the judicial council? So that's going to probably
well,
happen.
How would you come from budget advisory?
How would that be different than some of the backfills for revenue shortfalls we're getting this year? Isn't that in the same boat?
They don't see this as funding for. So the 48.3 is considered part of maintenance operations, but the civil assessors in general, they don't see it that way. So unless our civil assessments decrease to such an extent that, and I say our, like a quarter, but if it decreased to the point where it was actually less than 48.3 million, then they would say, okay, now we'll consider it as a backfill because that part of the base. But
that's sometimes.
Right. So at that point, probably could argue, hey, if the civil assessments dropped by $120 million, and so therefore we're short about 15 or so, that would be something we would approach Department of Finance with. Yeah, that would be good.
But anything short of that $48 million,
right. I mean,
we need to decide how to allocate a shortfall in the trust fund, just like we did the revenue shortfall.
The 22.7.
Right.
I mean, just like the $31 million way back when this all happened, where we said, oh, yeah, that extra $50, that'll cover it. I guess not. We're going to have to
take it. So not only is how it's paid, but how it's allocated.
Yeah.
That's the question. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. I mean, everybody's group seems to say it's going to happen pretty soon.
Well, I think there will be, it sounds like, there will be some shortfall in the 48, whether it's a million or 5 million, and we will
400,000.
Right, and we will potentially have to wrestle with a multi-million dollar, which, for lack of a better word, shortfall in the trust fund and how to allocate that.
If we could go from two or three courts not making that contribution to 10 courts or 15 courts not making that contribution at that 48.
Right, which becomes a very interesting discussion,
yes.
Especially considering Judge Cope's perspective, because what if the 20 courts that aren't part of the 38 say, guess what, we paid for this a long time ago, now it's the 38 courts. I'm just hypothesizing, and they say,
you got to have equity everywhere.
Equity, that's why I started with equity. They did pay for it all those years ago, but the rest of the courts that in that other 38 have not.
It was all those years ago.
It's handled in two different ways. The $48 million shortfall potentially is handled on a branch-wide basis.
Right.
And then courts would continue to get there to the extent they still have it, net civil assessment
that's
revenue.
Right.
Right. So they're, you know, so they could lose a little bit here and continue to get something here.
Right.
Some of the courts who can't make that obligation are going to get nothing. They're going to get reductions here and nothing here.
Right. That's right.
Yep.
This is based on effort after that point.
we need
to hit the wall.
Do we, I guess we need to talk about work group two or something, 2.0. I mean, we've got to continue this effort, right?
Yeah, I guess to put it bluntly, with the three
people. I don't want to call it Judge Kampa. I've had my fill.
Sure, you agree.
You're the historian,
though. I bought you cheap for six pack of Newcastle, so you still owe me.
This is a public meeting.
That's a factor in our arrangement.
So there's some folks who I'll talk to, but I agree that what we're going to do, just so everybody's clear, is I think it's going to be designated a working group within this subcommittee to come back to this subcommittee to address these issues so then we can respond up to Trucker Budget Advisory if it goes up to the Judicial Council. Okay? So everybody seems to be folding their notebooks all of a sudden. What else? I don't want to belabor these points, but we're all in the room. Is there anything else, especially from the three of you, that you think we further information we need to get before
No, you know what? It's been a really good conversation. I want to say Mike did a great job.
Absolutely.
Y'all
did, yep.
Even, you know, the CEOs are very close to the city. They're much more fluent in it. For some of us judges, a couple pieces fell into place for me today that, frankly, I hadn't been aware of before or hadn't appreciated.
And I think more will fall. I mean, like Judge Kuhl said, right, we need to make a workbook here for those of us that never understood this.
I think what's on the board.
And start to call in. Colin's written it all down in colonies, so we have it.
That's going to be a sizable task right there.
So I will send an email out to all of us about, you know, if you want to right now schedule another meeting. We have a Trucker Budget Advisory Committee on March 10th. Any thoughts on whether we should meet before then to continue to make progress on this? So I'm going to put it probably on the agenda then just to alert them as to the work of this subcommittee. So what do you folks think? The Judicial Council meets the last Thursday and Friday of February. Obviously, we're not getting to them before then, but I'm just saying that's an obligation date.
I don't think they're going to have time to do. I mean, I'll look at Mike. He has a lot of spare time, I know, but I'm thinking of his members that, no, I'm kidding.
So what we could do at the March 10th.
Got my attention.
Yeah.
If hopefully we're all there at the March 10th meeting, maybe we could just go aside real quick and pick a new date at that time. But then we could all just sort of have a side meeting. It's a working group, so there's nothing wrong with a working group just having a side discussion for scheduling purposes of, here's the work we've completed, we have enough work, so let's get together again, or we still need some more time to complete our work. How do you guys feel about that? Okay, so March 10th, if you could all just sort of pencil it in at March 10th, we'll find a few minutes to get together and just figure out the status of the working group as it relates to the subcommittee. All right?
You don't want to set a meeting now, Judge? It's so hard to get a calendar.
We could. We're all in the room.
Yeah.
I think our discussion's over, Judge.
Sorry, I'm late.
Why do we want to kill all the progress we've made?
You could put Glaxo on the spot and see how much he knows off the top of his head. And don't you think we probably just can use conference call? I mean, or do you think we need a live meeting?
You know what I'll do? I'll send out what's the Google thing?
Doodle
or whatever it is. I'll send out some dates, some proposed dates to all of you for this subcommittee to meet again based upon the work of the working group. As Blackberry, your timing is perfect. We just ended.
Really?
Unless there's something you want to
ask. We could ask him the questions that we were going to talk about, but it kind of puts him on the spot. And I like to do that. Which question? The civil assessments that are retained in the trial court trust fund, what happens to them then? What are they used for, and how does that flow work through the trial court?
The fund-based allocations.
Say fund-based allocations, but not necessarily through the WAFM model. It would then be.
Well, I mean, they're part of the pool of dollars.
Okay.
I mean, it's not
he
like we would. It's not
he
like
doesn't know about the agreement, if there are any.
But I'm talking about the flow of the 48 through.
It's just part of this.
Oh, I can tell you this. That's the minutes that I say from 2005. Uh-huh. The decision was you get back less the MOE offset because it was a transitional year.
Right, but the piece that you keep. Is 100% of the base allocation.
That's part of the pot.
It's part of the historical base.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Allocations and operations. So everybody participates in that pool.
Almost. Yeah.
Forget about how it gets there. Once it's there, though, everybody is part of. There's a dollar to every court. If you want to sort of slice $1, everybody gets a little piece of that.
How does the DOF look at civil assessment?
They really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I would say is that a decade ago, staff, probably not even, I mean, maybe 13 years ago, staff would have been aware. 12 years ago, 10 years ago, would have been aware of sort of the continuing changes in, you know, sort of reassessment of trial court funding. But, you know, when the budget cuts started happening, it was not like, even when Sal was coming in, it's like, here, Sal, you guys deal with it. Your budget cuts, deal with it. And so the intricacies have not been something that they've cared about. I mean, we talk about civil assessments as one of the inputs. I mean, Colin goes through that 80-line spreadsheet with them and explains all of the lines, but how and why they got to be, you know, a share being part of the pool and a dollar for dollar going back, and they see the top revenues being supporting base allocations and the bottoms are dollar for dollar. Why they are that way and that mix is something that's, other than Diane and maybe Pedro, who's still, you know, in the legislature.
But don't they consider this part of available base funding to the trial courts?
The 48?
The whole 160.
Well, they know that it supports your operations. But the designated as a base funding for base allocations versus dollar for dollar, and the dollar for dollar can go up and down. Because when they first denied and explained that they didn't fund the 22.7, they thought we were asking for this fluctuation in the dollar for dollar return. And then we said, no, that's not what it is. So Diana, I think, had a sense, but staff hadn't really understood what it meant. And when we explained to them that it is base allocation revenue, what we weren't asking for. But now with Amnesty doing what it's doing to our civil assessments, we have raised this issue with them. You, in an effort to save $12 million of general fund to not backfill the CTF, the Corrections Training Fund, and the Peace Officer Training Fund, you've created a bigger operational funding problem for us than that.
So there sounds like we're maybe knocking on the door, May, to try to get some general fund offset to any reduction in the $48 million.
Well, on an ongoing basis or just the temporary impact of Amnesty? There's a difference.
I don't know, I'll let you answer that question.
I think that, you know, whether or not they want to dive and wade and whatever the depth of the water is that we're talking about, they're wading into it or they're diving into it. That's a different thing than just trying to solve the problem created by Amnesty as it relates to civil assessments. We would take that opportunity to certainly educate them on this and that there's this sort of issue about the way in which the 48 and the MOEs and the, you know, what it means into the whole mix. And we'd obviously want to take that opportunity as they're talking about it, what it means. But from a funding standpoint, their willingness to want to drop, you know, $50 million of ongoing, that's a different prospect than don't let Amnesty harm us and here's what and how does that work.
What projections have you calculated in terms of the impact of Amnesty on fines and fees that will ultimately come back short to the trial court?
We've only done the civil assessment side. I mean, we're only getting some data now from DMV, and I think what we heard, like some in the of the two funds that were directed as part of the Amnesty, $130,000 been deposited into the into one of the funds. I mean, it's been nickels and dimes, and I think DOF has known that there's softness in their projections. That's why they had backed up their estimates with the loan from the general fund into those two funds. But they were very narrow. That's all they were focused on. And then in January, and then obviously with the Ferguson report, it made them more aware of the overall issue. But the fact that their budget didn't include anything relative to fines and fees makes me think that they are just kind of head in the sand about it, and it is what it is.
Of course, you know, the really interesting part is in your distributions in the five buckets, restitution, state, and then county, local, county, you know. So really, they're always going to be made whole in the first distribution level. It's really going to be the counties and the cities that should start claiming.
And they're losing revenue.
We told them.
Yep.
And that's why the LAO report and their funds fees.
That's going to be a problem.
But even at 80%, which is most, I mean, the state's still going to take
the it. State's going to, and using us as an example, it's going to be a big cut again from what
we can do. The fines fees reduction is why, and they're trying to be whole by doing Amnesty because CTF and POTF have lost. Those are penalty assessments going into those funds.
Sure.
And so they were trying to be, you know, let's collect all those, they're calling it uncollected revenues over there. That's why they tried to argue that it was revenues we never were going to see.
Oh,
yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Right.
But can I ask a question? Maybe
I'm only through the chair.
That's so
you. Because, you know, Colin goes through this list with the DOS, uh-huh. And here's your $1 for dollar, and here's the basic thing. The grand total is the same on these lists when you have your projections, whether it's up here or down in the dollar for dollar in terms of available funding to the courts, correct?
It's always the same?
Well, I know there's fluctuation in the dollar for dollar, but I guess what I'm saying is theoretically if the $48 million was down in the dollar for dollar, short of a fluctuation or an effect by Amnesty or something, you're still talking about the same available funding on a grand scale, yes? Or am I missing?
The top is what we would say is always try to remain constant or growing.
Right.
We don't ever want it to go
right.
down to the base allocations.
And
but when you add the fluctuating bottom half, then the total does go up and down.
Correct.
But because of the variability of the bottom portion.
Right. So notwithstanding the fluctuation, it's still the same list of line items, correct?
Yeah.
You know where I'm going.
I do.
Yeah.
I know exactly
just,
what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm – so it's really just a designation. I you know, and actually perhaps a leverage for us with Department of Finance for stable ongoing to leverage from there in shortfalls. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. That's it.
There's always that's the whole point about stable, predictable funding. I mean, we are on this dollar for dollar is great if it's constant or growing. When it's not, then you have issues, and we've obviously focused on the base allocations as sort of the state responsibility. And the bottom portion, it's individual court actions that influence that. But it still should speak to the whole as
right.
far as what it means. And that's why I think the Amnesty issue does have a role here because of what it's doing as an action by the legislature administration on our available resources.
Okay. Any other questions?
Any movement on anything else for the May budget? Any other interesting pieces that we're trying to...
That's
your
issue.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
And I talked yesterday, revenue expenditures, about the four assignments, and since we're all in the room now, that are coming, they're still being refined, but they're going to come to Trucker Budget Advisory, our forward goals to 2016, and it's the $30 million as that comes. Our voice is heard in that $30 million and how perhaps that $30 million should be split out. There's the $7 million from language access and how that's going to be allocated. There's the judgeship allocation. According to the bill, the governor said, remember, he said, I'm not going to give you more judges until I see you're making, and I'm paraphrasing, you're making efficient use of what you have, so you might need to move resources for open positions to other counties, and how would that be accounted for funding-wise? And then the $20 million, which is really a conversion of the 2%, is now going to be the $20 million fund through which counties will make requests. And how we're going to deal with that in Canada, that one I think is, of all of those, the easiest to make significant progress on, and that is those on the 2% committee will be just designated into the $10 million as far as developing criteria. So we just had a 2% request a few days ago, and it really showed us some interesting issues that we haven't addressed before. And frankly, for instance, on the 2%, let's assume a county takes a catastrophic loss, totally unforeseen, and without any fault at all. Is the purpose of the 2% to pay them back for that loss, or is the purpose of the 2% to bring them up to ground level of that?
What would be the example? Are you talking about like a flood? Or are you talking about like a...
Happens earthquake.
Yeah.
So let's assume for some reason that happens exactly, and the county says we lost $1 million because of exact something, act of God, so to speak, and they come back to the 2% committee and they say, okay, we've got
we got our $1 million loss, but if you give us our as far as going down below budget, and I'm using the wrong terms, but we're only going to be $500,000 in the hole. If we have to absorb this million, we're going to be $500,000 in the red. You give them $1 million, so they're whole again, or you just bring them up to. See what I'm saying?
Well, you look at it on purpose because
I'm talking about the 2% and something else that other suggestions they're going to make as a factor we deal with. So, but they're four interesting assignments. I think we're going to be able to handle them very well. So that's where they're going. And as soon as I get those finalized, Justice Miller has been very, very helpful in talking to me, getting those finalized. I think that's going to be done in the next 7 to 10 days, even by an email. We were just exchanging a little while ago while I was paying attention to everything else. I think we'll get those assignments out pretty quick. Okay. Thank you all very, very much. I hope you're able to make earlier planes. Drive safe going home, and we'll be in touch. Thanks, everybody.